Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today, I'm joined by a former Pershore College practitioner, a former employee of mine, and a man with an insatiable appetite for gardening, and he's dedicated his life to teaching in horticulture and practical training. It's Frank Hardy. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and of course to my producer, Charlie Jones. Last Saturday I had a much-needed full days of rain. Boy, that did some good. In the southeast, the soil was getting really dry. And one of the benefits of gardening with a polytunnel is that when you do have a good day's heavy rain, it doesn't stop you. You can still keep going. And I have to tell you, my polytunnel was in a hell of a mess. I just hadn't had time. Tomatoes were growing everywhere, cucumbers and aubergines and peppers. And I've bitten the bullet and stripped it all out. They've been pretty clean this year too. I was afraid I was going to have quite a lot of white fly and red spider. But at the end of May, I had several plants came back from Chelsea which had carrying those little biological control sachets, you know, where a parasite actually eats the red spider and the white fly. And they seemed to do an excellent job until we got into the end of the summer, into August, early September, and a bit of white fly came back. And so it'll be a good thing to get all that lot cleaned out, polythene sort of washed down with a disinfectant, so we have a clean start for the season. I'm pretty pleased too that with that rain, the autumn cropping raspberries are doing rather well. I only planted 6 canes originally, and I'm picking 2 punnets a week at present from varieties like Polka. I mean, you know, they'll crop until the frost, and then I'll just tip the canes, and the canes that have grown this year will again crop in June, July, when I cut them right out. Now, there's news from Belgium that the Xylella disease has been identified on a trader's holding. That's a real worry, and I hope to have Steve McCurdy on our podcast next week to find out a bit more about that. News this week is the sighting of Asian hornets. It's smaller than our native hornet, but a real threat to bees. Actually, there's a picture of it on the web, and if anyone sees one, they need to report that identification as soon as possible so that the nest can be identified and that particular invader eliminated. Bees have enough problems without being attacked by Asian hornets. Actually, I smiled a bit at the report from the Royal Horticultural Society that has been researching the natural ways to control slugs. And they tell us that rough surface, grit, sand, eggshells and all that sort of thing don't work at all. I can't think why they need to research that. We all knew that from years ago. There's only one sure way. That's to go out with a torch at night and catch them, or to use a few slug pellets. And the best bet there, once the soil does get a bit wet, is to just scatter a few slug pellets under a tile. That does 2 jobs. It keeps the pellets dry, so they last longer, and of course it keeps them away from any animal or creature which could possibly be harmed by them. If you are planting anything soft and tender, I mean putting out some really young pansy or viola seedlings at this time of the year, then you'll need that tile and a few slug pellets underneath it. And what else? Well, this is the week where I've always recommended that you sow sweet pea seeds. 10th of October, the perfect day. Later on will be speaking to Frank Hardy, and he tells me that when he was up in Scotland, he sowed the sweet peas there on the 10th of October, and it worked just as well up in the north as it did with us down in the southeast. You can do two things. You can either sow them in pots and keep them in a cold frame ready to plant out next March, or the easy way is to cultivate a bit of soil, sow the sweet peas where you're going to grow them, and then once they begin to come through, a bit of cloche cover just to keep them a bit dry through the winter, and then they'll be fine. Autumn sown, you'll certainly have the earliest flowers, and I like to be cutting about the third week in May. The other thing, if you're rooting cuttings of fuchsias ready to carry them through the winter for next summer, look for those shoots that have leaves in threes rather than pairs. If they're in threes, it means that instead of getting a shoot from the base of two leaves at each joint, you get three shoots, and so the plants are much bushier. And I think perhaps even more important, you get 50% more flowers at each leaf joint too. So look very closely at all of your mother plants, and if you can see a nice young shoot with the leaves in threes, those are the ones to choose for cuttings. There's been a bit of comment too about sweet potatoes, and you need to leave those as long as possible because the tuber increases in size as the days shorten. Once the foliage yellows, or after frost, and I understand in Oxfordshire that the leaves have already been frozen on a lot of sweet potatoes, then you need to lift, and you need to do that pretty quickly because slugs, here we've got the underground keel slug, that will bite into the tubers and can really damage the crop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, there are people in our industry who have enormous influence, and my guest interview today is exactly that. Frank Hardy was the former deputy principal at Pershore College, and goodness knows how many hundreds of people have Frank to thank for education and steering in the right direction. Is that a fair introduction, Frank?
I think that's a very good introduction. Perhaps a little over-flattering.
Not at all. Now, can we, as we often do, start from the beginning? How did you start in horticulture?
Well, I had been working in a London office as a shipping clerk. Didn't like it, thought I'd like the idea of an outside job. So I applied to the LCC Parks, London Parks, and they gave me a job in Victoria Park, Bethnal Green.
Well, and what did you do there?
Well, it was a bit of a come down. I thought this would be the outdoor job of the century. I swept leaves for 6 weeks and suddenly thought, this is even worse than the tedium in my office. But I stuck with it because one of the things you learn is that there are parts of every job tedium. Fortunately, because I worked exceedingly hard, the boss thought, you might be good for the job. So I was put on the bedding gang, and then I was put to working in the greenhouses, which taught me a lot.
Yeah, and then, Frank, you and I worked together for a little while.
Well, I know. That I always thought you were a bit of a hard taskmaster, Peter, to be honest. But I worked in the trial grounds. But I suppose for me, And one learnt a lot about different flowers, which was to come very useful later on to me. But particularly the bit I liked was the show work, which you went to shows at weekends to display many of the flowering plants, some of which were I'd never seen before in my life. And we'd build the stand, and you had an excellent person, a Ken Lindsay, who was the boss man, and he could put plants together like nobody else. Taught me a lot, in fact, although we didn't do it. But we were allowed to stand on the stand, and we were supposed to know all the plants. I think that was a bit hopeful. Some of the plants were probably wrongly named by us to the people, but you enjoyed meeting people and talking about plants.
Well, you mentioned the late Ken Lindsay. Goodness, what enormous support he was for me too. I miss him terribly, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think I learned an enormous... You don't realise how much you pick up working with senior horticulturalists, people with knowledge.
Yeah. And Ken, of course, came from brickworks. You know, he used to work making bricks. Boy, he could work.
I think we all have different backgrounds, and it's our ability to pick up things as you go along that's so important.
Yeah. And then you went on to... Riddle College, you know, what we now call Riddle University College, but it was the Essex Institute of Agriculture, wasn't
it? That's right.
In your time. How long were you there, Frank?
2.5 years. 2 years there and half a year doing some practical work in the middle. So it was a brilliant course, and I have to say, I would say I owe my horticultural knowledge to those years. I really do. At the time, you think, oh, what are we doing this for? And then years later, you think, gosh, I can remember that. I'll do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many... You were made to do practicals, some of which were pretty hard. Pruning part of an orchard, I remember thinking, I've not got to prune another fruit tree. Later in life, I really benefited when I started to teach, because pruning's... not an easy task. And even things that you don't like weeding. Now, weeding's no joy for anybody, but I can remember weeding carrots in this bed, and everybody complained bitterly. And we all went away, and it was the outcome that matters. It's the outcome that matters for us, because later in the year, we harvested the carrots. And I can remember saying, now you see why we weeded those carrots. And it was brilliant.
And don't you have a lot of annual nettles in with carrots?
Yes, it was all actually little annual stinging nettles,
yeah.
Which is perhaps why we complained bitterly.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of fun in a college. And I'm going to relay this to you. I'm sure people won't like it. But as boys will be boys, we wanted to show our part in the college. And one spring, when we knew the governors were attending to have a look round the college, we sprayed all the daffodils blue, which didn't go down terribly well.
Well then, Frank, what was the next job when you went on from Riddle?
The next job was to go to Scotland, and that was a big move, and one that I thought, why am I doing this? But one of the things I think is important to get as many experiences as you can in horticulture. I'd done parks, I'd been to college, I'd worked on a flower nursery, but I've never been to a place like Scotland where they have a multitude of different things, and the people are different, the climate is different, something I never realised how important, and the soil's different. I went out, what, Ayrshire is very mild, far different from Essex, which is always hard winters, and the soils were light, whereas in Essex, they're like clay and difficult.
Once you've worked on heavy clay soil, you don't really want to work on anything else. But
they have an advantage. They produce brilliant crops. If you have sandy soils, you have early crops,
yeah.
Which is something helped me. I mean, wonderful. It was the best thing I ever did going up there. And because I was a practical demonstrator, I was able to do all the things I liked doing, which was practical. I didn't do any of the theory. All I did was the practical. It was brilliant. And the students were very good. I learnt something there which I thought was important, whether it was or not, but I kept it all my life. I decided I was going to be a disciplinarian. So everybody had to attend on dead on time, otherwise I chucked them out. They had to obey the rules, and that was my approach. Because I was nearly the same age as some of the students, and I thought that was the best way I could do it. Yeah. Ironically, it worked well for me, partly because I was good at the practical. If I hadn't been, I think they would perhaps revolted a bit.
They would have seen through you, wouldn't they?
You get
a sort of respect when you can actually do the job.
Well, that was Riddle again. Yeah. They taught you how to do things like grafting. You could teach, and the students were impressed. They'd never seen any grafting done, you know. Things like that were quite amazing.
Yeah.
I really honestly say that it was the second stage in my learning, because even there I was learning about a lot of things. I was supposed to do advisory work on turf, so I was going to golf clubs all over the place.
Grams.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't say my knowledge on turf was extensive to begin with, but it rapidly became so. As you know,
you learn on the foot. Yeah,
on the foot. And I think that's one of the great things about going to different jobs. It's challenges. Challenges are very important. Well, now, and it taught me how to deal with students.
Yeah, and I understand that your students actually went out to work for a year.
One of the gems of the year. I had to arrange for student sandwich year work 1 year away, which at the time I was very, and still am, a great advocate, because it brings them down to earth from nice, easy-going college life to some of the hardened parts of actually working in the field. And I sent one to the Queen's Royal Gardens at Windsor, and he was a good lad, very good lad. And suddenly in May, nearly through the year, I got a phone call from the head gardener saying, "You must come up and see this student. I don't want him here." And I was appalled.
Well, that would be the John Bond, wouldn't it?
I mean, he was one of our great plantsmen.
You mustn't cross him, goodness.
No. Well, I was horrified, because I thought, gosh, he wants to... This was Whit Monday. And I raced up from Ayrshire to there, met Mr. Bond, who was not in a very good mood about it, because he said, "Do you know what he did?" I said, "No." "Well, the Queen visits to see all the student gardens once a year in the Royal Gardens, and I get them lined up for her to meet her and tell them they must look smart and be prepared to talk to her." And he said, "Do you know what happened? On the day that happened, this lad came, and he came in his gumboots and all his working gear and stood there with a smile on his face." I don't think it went down too well. I'm not sure the Queen worried about it, but he did. Fortunately, I persuaded him to stay on, and I know from what I've heard, he went on and he did well. Actually, he's doing very well in horticulture.
He did indeed. No names, no pack drills here.
No, not at all. If the person's hearing, he'll know.
And Frank, then you went from Auchincloy to Pershore, you know, where you were promoted up to vice principal.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, how many years did you do there?
I did 13 years and saw hundreds of students, many of which I think have done very well. And one of the great worries in life is that when I meet them, I cannot remember all their names, which is a problem, because when you have, so we had up to then up to about 500 students. So it becomes difficult to remember them all. You remember the good and the bad. In between, you tend to forget, which is a bit sad. But I suppose the thing with that was that I'd come from being a lecturer and a practical lecturer at that, and suddenly I was expected to be an administrator, which I didn't like terribly much, although I managed to work my way into some practicals and some lectures when staff were away. But the thing that I was allowed to do was help develop the Chelsea Gardens with the students.
And so that experience all those years ago when you started
was then reintroduced. Yeah. Then you suddenly realise how good Ken Linzel was. And even Peter Seabrook too. you suddenly realise, I wish I'd picked up a few more tips. The thing is, you do it, you don't ask the right questions. You know, what comes with what? But there you are. It was brilliant because the students, they wanted to succeed. And of the 13 years, 3 years we won gold, one of which was a best in show, which is quite exceptional for a very a college-based garden. And they were the big gardens. And you're up against the best in the world. And you tell the students that. If you're going to succeed, you've got to beat the best in the world. And you make them do, if they're going to do a bit of brickwork, it's got to be like a master brick. If they're going to do arrangements, the flower arrangement or the plant arrangement has got to be like the best. And the plants have got to be the best. And that was the thing that really made it, was I made them grow about 80% of the plants. No other of the people that are there that are doing garden to make grow the plants, apart from the prison. What's the prison that goes there?
That's right, the Bristol prison, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, they did, and we did.
To get best in show with students travelling from Pershore to London, hell, you should be proud of that.
I was very proud. It's 3 weeks' work, no short time, and they loved it. And for them, it was the culmination of their course. And most of them, when they came away, they put it on their CV. Many of them became landscapers. They put on their landscape card, built a Chelsea garden.
Which they had done, yeah.
Which was phenomenal.
And which of your gardens got, then, the best in show? Was that you did a coal mine, didn't you?
No, it was the one called the Greening of Industry, and it consisted of a slate works that where the slate was being brought up with this sort of wheel and big metal thing.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
And all the plants had overcome the thing. It was brilliant. The students were brilliant on that course. They were good growers and they were good constructors, actually.
Yeah. And was Dr. Hussain involved in that?
Yes, Dr. Hussain was the sponsor. Of course, I had to get the sponsorship, which is not easy. He provided the money and was probably one of the best sponsors we ever had. He appreciated what they did and he took them to the 5-star hotel in Broadway and gave them a big slap-up meal and said, drink what you want, it's all on the bill.
Really?
Some of them were drinking bottles, full bottles of port, you name it.
Oh, my God. But, Dr. Hussain, he was a hard taskmaster, but, I'm delighted to hear the way he treated you with that.
Oh, he's a magnificent man to the students.
Yeah.
He really was, but he expected the goods. It would have been, I don't think what would have happened if we hadn't achieved the goods.
No, I don't like to think either. And so, Frank, now you're retired, presumably.
Well, we never retire, do we, asshole? Because I look at you, you're in the same boat, I think. Basically, once you're hooked on horticulture, you don't go away from it. People used to say to me, I suppose you're putting your feet up and watching telly. I said, no. I now do lots of garden talks, and I always take plants with me. Never do I not, because I think the whole understanding of horticulture is not about just talking about it, but showing plants if you can. I do quite a lot of those. I do also did for a while, was invited to become the horticultural consultant to the Shrewsbury Flower Show. And
oh, that must be fun. You must have enjoyed that.
Oh, that was tremendous. I actually succeeded
Percy Thrower.
Percy Thrower, which threw me a bit because I thought, how can I match up to him? But I think in a whole, I didn't do too badly. And you meet so many people, and I think this is where I missed out in my early years. I didn't make enough of the many contacts I made, because you know that, and I'm sure you're particularly good at it. There are so many horticulturists, and most of them are quite willing to talk to you about even the inner secrets of their growing.
Yeah. Well, I think the general advice I would give is you give everything you've got, and usually in horticulture, whoever you're dealing with will do the same.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And if there is an exception and they take you for a ride, they only do it once. Yeah.
I could imagine that with you, Peter, yes.
Frank, it's great speaking to you. Look forward to us meeting fairly soon. And, yeah, keep gardening.
And yourself.
In Lincolnshire, we've got the veg trials from leading international seed companies open to trade visitors. So I hope to report on that next week. The UK seed companies, Elsom's and Syngenta, are on my list of must-see just to find out what's happening in the world of salads and vegetables. Oh, and on the 14th, it's the Rose Society UK annual general meeting at St Michael's Church Hall in Peltel in the West Midlands. And as well as the AGM, there'll be a talk by Simon White, who's garden centre manager at Peter Beale's. They're really great rosarians, they are. So that should be a very interesting and useful talk. Thanks again to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.